The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C.
And we're back, starting hour number two of the National Inter Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is April 18th, 2022, and we are in hour two, so that means my guest from the West. My guest from the West, I like how that sounds. Mr. Rahm McDonald, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. We got a couple more calls to take. Hey, did you have a nice Easter?
Yes, I did. We celebrated it Saturday because my daughters had to work on Sunday.
Okay. All right, well, let's just take these calls. We'll catch up here. And then let's break down some other stuff, some news stories today. Back to the phones. Let's finish up with Charlie in Florida. Charlie, are you still there?
Yes, I am, Steve. It just really gets to me after a while that, you know, that song that for John Stadtmiller that just played, you know, fighting for liberty and patriots, and they'll try to silence our voices. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're silencing our voices, and they're going after people that are telling the truth. And this is a major, major problem. And I tell you, it's just like this war over there in Ukraine. The Ukrainian army, that Azovs or whatever those guys are, they were within, I think it was, they had 100,000 troops on the Donbass border, and their plan was to level the Donbass and move into Russia. That seems like what the plan was. Putin had no choice, really. He had no choice. He had to act.
No, he didn't. He gave them prime warning to say, hey, don't do this. Please don't do this. And the United States says, no, we're going to do it. And no. Russia, you know, that's the side of the story that nobody wants to talk about. Again, the United States being the spark, and the fire started now by Russia. There's a spark that starts a fire here. Nobody talks about the spark. There was an instigator.
We've got to stop this. The war is on us, not just for in Ukraine, but for all of us. These idiots are going to try to lead us into some kind of nuclear confrontation. And this is, to me, is so absurd. But I don't know if you know this, but today there were helicopters that came from Ukraine and actually entered into Russian territory and dropped some ordnances. I think they were small, but they dropped some ordnances in and around some little villages there on the border. They're encroaching now. They're actually encroaching into the country of Russia. We've got, and so we're gonna see this, okay? Yeah. But like I was saying, the war is on us. We've got to do something. They're killing our children with these vaccines. They're killing everybody with these vaccines. But when you go after the children, the innocent children, you've gone too far. That's war.
I agree.
All right. Thank you.
I agree. I understand that sentiment, even though my children are grown up. But I still have to keep on my daughter because I got grandchildren. And I tell her, well, she finally got her, you know, the kids out of the public school system. She teaches her own children now. And far as I know, and I hope she's telling me the truth, and I think she is, that she has no interest in putting this messenger RNA poison in her children's bodies. So she's listening to her father, and it's a good thing. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to...
9 months old children. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones and talk to John in Michigan. Welcome, John.
Hello, Steve. Thanks Hello. For taking my call. And is this the Ron McDonald from Northern California that you have on as your guest?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, it is.
Oh, thank goodness. It's been a long time, Ron. And I'm from Northern Michigan, and we've talked before. I'm glad to hear you back with RBN. You've got a lot to offer. But again, going back to another thing with your daughter, Steve, my sister is Mary Toko, and just have her talk to your daughter, and I think if there's any question, she'll get it from someone that's not in the family, because sometimes family, you know, is hard to get a point across to someone that's in the family, because your family members. So Mary would be more than happy to talk to her. Congratulations for her to homeschool. What a blessing for those children.
It was the teaching, the sexual teaching in the school, which finally went over the top. And I said, you're not going to continue. You're not going to teach this, are you, in the curriculum? She goes, no. And I said, what about your husband? So, no. No, they understood. They had crossed over the...
Is she in Florida?
No. She's back in Indiana.
Oh, my son's in Indiana.
So this liberalism is even in Indiana. Yeah, it's not just California. This whole sexual teaching your children very young, and you know, she understands. She's actually kind of religious, so she knows is wrong. And on many fronts, this is all wrong, and it's not going away. And I told her, if you don't say something, you know, silence is implied consent. I urged her to get other families who must feel the same way she does, and to storm those PTA meetings, go to those board meetings, and make it known this is not acceptable. ABCs, 1-2-3s, mathematics, science is all a part of a curriculum for schooling that I would be okay with. The sexual teaching is not appropriate at any level. I'm disappointed in our governor down here because he stopped at third grade. And to me, there should be no sexual teaching in the school whatsoever, other than the normal reproductive route, which we all learned as kids in school, how babies are made and all that stuff. And that's the science. That's the biology we learned in school. Beyond that is none of their business. That's mom and dad's business. And I don't want anybody teaching that crap to my children. That's my job.
Well, Steve, you're right. And if you, I fought the Michigan and Oregon and Pennsylvania were the pilot states for this garbage that was brought in the mid 90s, and we pulled our children up here in northern Michigan pulled them out of school and homeschooled them because that was the laboratory for it up here, and it's very destructive. It's more than just the sexual stuff, and all of these parents now that went through that education are now in their 40s and have children, so it's something that's they have, and they also went through and got the shots that the school said they needed, which was not, you know, that's all was lies. But my son lives outside of Indianapolis in a town called Whitestown. I don't know where you're.
I know where it is. I live in Indianapolis. I'm from there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, my son, she would probably be more than happy. He's homeschooling his children. and he has three boys, and it would probably be nice for them to meet. Mary's son is also a partner with my son in a business out of Indianapolis, so it might be of interest to her maybe to eventually get a hold of him, and then if it's close by. But it would be nice to have some other folks thinking along. And he hasn't vaccinated, and we call this the shot, not the vaccine. Yeah. We don't call it a vaccine.
You know, I have a kind of a sad story. My only encounter in Whitestown was rather a sad story. I used to have a three-wheeler, used to race three-wheelers before they actually put a fourth wheel on there, made quads. And I moved from Oklahoma after the military, and I was racing quite a bit, my three-wheeler. I got to a point where I said, you know, I'm going to college, and maybe it's time to give this stuff up. And so I put an ad in the paper, I think it was called The Trader, to sell my three-wheeler. And I had this gentleman show up from an older gentleman show up to my house late one night, gave me a time. He said, I can be there after at a certain time. I think I opened my garage up at 11 o'clock at night. It's really late. I pull out my three-wheeler, turn the lights on, and this older gentleman, wow, this is a nice bike. And I said, who's it for? And he said, it's for my grandson. I said, how old is your grandson? He said, 10 years old. I said, I don't really feel comfortable with this. I said, because this is a very fast bike. If you lose control on this thing here, there's probably no second chances here. It's that fast a bike. It's a racing bike. And he said, well, I have a big farm in Whitestown here, and he'll have plenty of room to practice and get the feel of it and to understand the power behind it. I said, okay. I sold it. I sold in the three-wheeler, loaded it up on his trailer. And actually, his grandson was there. His grandson came with him, and he was his eyes all lit up. This is beautiful. He sat on it. And actually, I took it to a field. And even though the field was lit up because it was a baseball diamond type field nearby where I lived, I said, let's take it over there and let's just let you take it around a little bit here. It's a big field. Go slow. See how it feels. And he didn't go very fast on it. He just kind of went around the field a little bit, and he came back. He said, Grandpa, I want it. So Grandpa said, I'll buy it for you, but you got to work it off. Made him do all kinds of work on the farm to pay it off. And it's good. It's responsibility. So I loaded it up on the trailer, this guy's trailer. He took off with it. A week later, in the news, that 10-year-old boy had lost control of my three-wheeler that I sold him, gone through a barbed wire fence, and he died. I was 10 years old, and I was heartbroken by that. It's still hard to talk about it. I was very upset by it. I wanted him to have a good time, be careful. I gave him a nice helmet. I gave him lots of instructions. I just said, just take your time. And he died about a week later.
Well, that's tragic. And I know those things were very dangerous in their own design. But going over to Ukraine, but definitely get a hold of my sister and my son if possible. Sure. In Whitestown. Ukraine, David Duke, I listened to him on Friday. Mm-hmm. That was a great show.
Yeah.
And everybody that says, oh, Ku Klux Klan, right, as soon as I say his name, I don't know his history, but the history that he gave was so logical and so precise, and it we just have to think that this is George Soros's, this is the Rothschilds, this is the bankers, because of the natural resources Russia has. I remember listening to John Kerry talk about getting Russia because of their natural resources, and then Putin's being bad because he kicked out the bankers. Folks, it's all about things that it's the people are just being used as pawns. And that area in Ukraine is corrupt from the Romneys to the Pelosis.
Yeah.
Everybody is corrupt, and that's what is being exposed, and that's why they have to not let that come out. And it's just David Duke's show I thought was great, and then going to John's presentation he did on the elite, the Jewish elite, it was in 209. It's on the website, right there in the sidebar. People should listen to that to get some more insight as to some real history that factors into all of this. But I really enjoyed David Duke's show and because of the information he gave. And this is a banker's war. It has nothing to do with what we've been told. And I think my train of thought is gone now. But thanks for the time. And definitely, I think your daughter's on the right path. And I had to fight that education stuff up here. I went to school board meetings for 4 years in a row, every meeting, every month, to try to expose what they were bringing into this town. It's just tragic what it's done to the children. Now they're dumping more garbage into the system. So she's doing the right thing. And
garbage in, garbage out. Yep. Exactly.
Yep, and
appreciate the call there, John. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks for taking it.
Just to let you know that the Arbian updates, John's article, John's Zionism specials, is under the updates. It's pinned to the top there. So if you want to go and watch that and read the articles, it's there for your taking. Back to the phones, and let's talk to Sally in Alaska. Sally, are you there? Sally in Alaska. Mike, we lose Sally? Maybe.
Oh, wait, here I accidentally hit the mute. I got so enthralled with your three-wheeler horror story that I'm so familiar with up here that I forgot what I was going to say, but now I remembered it. I was born...
Sally, that was a heartbreaker for me. I still have a hard time talking. That's been a long time ago.
Because it happened up here on the beach with a dear friend's daughter riding at a party, and I hate three-wheelers. They're just they're too easy to tip over. But anyway, I turned 5 here in a couple of months. In fact, I was born on the very day that Harry Truman signed the CIA into law, July 26th. luckily, lost by Mick Jagger. I have a paltry pile of firearms, and I fully, have no doubt that I am willing to forfeit my life for what my ancestors went through hundreds of years ago, and it is our responsibility. But, when the crap is going to hit the fan in America, everybody's been listening, and I've been saying, oh, wait till you see the whites of their eyes. The whites of their eyes is going to be when they pull up the draft and they expect people to just go bow-wowing into the military.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right on that. Ron, what do you think about that? I think they will pull that out, but I don't think they're going to get a very good response here.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I think people's eyes are being opened up by the current events. I think most people know that we shouldn't be in Ukraine and supporting that. We're testing nuclear war power if we continue.
Well, the double edge of the sword here is the United States. We saw in COVID here the many stages of manipulation of how they would buy people off. Now you're in a situation here. You have a draft, and the young youth are not going to readily just sign up to go. They're going to say, no, I don't want to go to war. I mean, this is a TV's TV, but this is real stuff. I could die. And so now the government's going to turn on them to say, well, how can we punish you, kind of like the situation with the COVID shots, to get you to comply with signing up for the military? What can we do? Well, you can't go to school. We'll make sure you can't get a loan. We'll find ways to strong arm you into signing up for their wars. I think that's the direction they're going to go.
Yeah, Steve, that'll have a cry in, though.
Yeah.
I have an opening statement to the folks that says, defy the draft. Why go, to go die in a foreign nation fighting communism when you can stay right home and do it here?
That's right. Exactly. Well said.
I'm getting really pissed.
Well said.
Because they're going to widen the age. They're going to be bringing people in at 40 and whatever, and yet they won't let them come home with their guns.
They're
doing military.
They've trained them well, and then when they come home, now they're deemed enemy combatants, possible domestic terrorists, because they've been trained so well, and they disagree with government. So they're in trouble now.
Well, that's basically what I wanted to say, and just say hi. And, you know, we're in the middle. I feel like everybody says, oh, the boonies in Alaska. But, you know, we're in the bullseye, really. Mm-hmm. We're so close to Russia. We've got all of these things going on. We've got a rocket. We've got a rocket base. We've got the HARP program that the university has for educational purposes. We've got the pipelines. We've got gas lines going in. We're the biggest supplier of fuel in the United States, and it's along with maybe North Dakota, but they're slowing down. You know.
Yeah, I do remember Sarah Palin saying she could see Russia from her house.
Well, she got made fun of. Now she's running. Now that Don Young, who's the oldest congressman I think in American history, just died. He got elected. He lost to Nick Begich Sr., who went down with Senator Boggs, probably brought down by our government because they were behind Kennedy and all the anti-war and money, and they disappeared. Yeah. He lost to them. He was appointed, and that was in 1972, I think, and he's been there ever since. And so Sarah Palin's running for her seat, and I think it's going to look like the Democratic presidential. They've got about 25 people running for his seat. It's going to be, you got to watch. It's going to be a dog and
pony
show.
Well, I think they're going to lose about 80 seats, but they're going to try to figure out how to steal this thing again. They're coming up with a plan. They can't. They know they're going to lose huge this time around.
Well, that might, there's too much proof coming out, and that might be another the white of their eyes, because that'll really piss people off.
This will be interesting. Yeah.
It's going to be a very interesting time.
Yes, it
I'm
will.
I'm glad I'm 74 and not 14.
Yeah. All right. Sally, thanks for the call. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to hear what he has to say, too. Welcome aboard. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Marcus in Idaho. Welcome, Marcus.
Good afternoon and happy Easter to you folks. Hope you had a wonderful one. I have
worked.
Pardon?
I worked.
Oh. Well,
no time off. I worked. I worked.
Yes.
What's on
My
your mind,
mother
Marcus?
And I had a wonderful time. There's a the fellow was saying that the globalists were involved with the Russia-Ukraine thing. I think the globalists are definitely involved with Ukraine, but I don't think the Russians the globalists brought the Russians into this per se as part of their plan. I think Putin has intentions to protect his people. And there is only one way to do that, to protect the people in the Donbass and protect the people in Russia against the NATO coming in and pointing a gun at their head.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is a plan by the globalists to be able to take over Russia. I don't see that.
Well, that, you know, regime change in Russia, that's, I don't know how that got started. Biden making some slip up, I guess, in his little speech there, indicating, or was it Jen Psaki, that there was a plan that maybe possibly we could do a regime change here. That's not a possibility. You're not talking about a little third world country here. That's not going to happen.
Exactly. They can say that just to throw a bone to their people.
Maybe.
It wasn't really about the reality of the situation.
No. Not at all.
I also want to give a three-wheel story. I lived in Ihiik, Alaska, in the tundra area.
Yeah.
On the peninsula, and was driving or taking a three-wheeler down the coast one day, rocky coast, and turned around, saw something on the beach, because we're all scavengers. You don't have a whole lot to buy things up there, so if you can find something, it's good. And I turned around and went full bore back to check it out, and hit a sentinel line that I wasn't seeing, and it came up across the handlebars, caught me in the neck, flipped me in the three-wheeler over, and I woke up in a pool of blood.
Wow.
With a broken arm and a burned neck, and I should have been dead, because it just about hung me, but Freewheelers were fun, definitely.
Fun but dangerous. I look back at that now. I wish I hadn't sold it to him, but I don't know. Just one of those situations. The horror of it, watching TV, and I seen the grandpa on TV, and that was the guy that was at my house last week, and the grandson was there. I don't know how to even explain that feeling when you see that happening. It's just a hard thing to accept, and I really felt bad, still do.
Yeah, well, you did your best, Steve. You know, all you can do is forewarn someone, you know, but you can't live their lives for them.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how I could have got out of that. I mean, his grandfather said, oh, he's written one before, and this is a racing machine. This thing is seriously fast. And
perhaps you should have said no. I mean, at a certain time, we've got to take responsibility for what we're doing to other people and say, no, I don't think so. You can't have that.
But you could also be facing a suit. You could be sued for failure to sell it.
No, I had no contract with anybody. I didn't renege on anything. I could have said no. I could have said, you know, I don't feel good about this, and not sold it to him. I've done that before on certain things. But I got convinced by the kid himself and the grandfather that he has one. It's not this fast. It's pretty slow. But he did fine with that. He's never had any accidents, never had any problem. But evidently, he totally went through a fence with barbed wire. But
you also got to.
And the thing, probably, I think my top end speed on this machine here was right around 80 or 85 miles an hour. That's how fast
this
thing was.
That's very fast for a three-wheeler. Three-wheelers usually only go about 45.
Oh God, no! This thing was built for racing, and that's what I did. I raced it.
Yeah.
So.
You're gonna have to carry that one until God gives you forgiveness for that one. That's when you're gonna have to take it to God.
I guess so. All right, Marcus. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I haven't discussed that in years, Ron.
I can imagine why.
I haven't. Jeez. When Mary Toko's brother John brought up Whitestown, Indiana, that's like, oh, Whitestown. Oh, my gosh. I haven't thought of that situation in a long time. That was 1985 or 6 when I sold that machine. A long time ago. Let's get back to some topics here, I guess. Ron, you've been following this Elon Musk.
Yes,
buying
I have.
Into the shares of Twitter. You've been buying into this? You've been watching this?
What do you mean buying into it as far
as... He's now the largest shareholder of Twitter. You knew that, right?
Yeah, 9%, yes.
Yeah, it's not much. Evidently, trying to be a hostile takeover. He's trying to buy the company out outright.
Right.
Has an offer of $43 billion offer out there, which pushes your shares to right around... I think $52.20. The board has refused, and I guess they have a plan B to make sure he can't buy any more shares to stop him. But if you think about this here, what's different with this situation here of trying to buy a company and make it private when Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post, Ron? He bought the Washington Post. There's no difference here.
No.
There's no difference. Other than, we'll talk about this when we come back out of the commercial break. I want to get your opinion on this, and callers call in, give me your idea. Is this guy for real? Is he really wanting free speech, or is there something else bigger that we're missing here? 512-248-8252.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
Big John.
Big Bad John.
And we are back. God, I tell you, every time I hear that, I think of John.
Yeah. Any John. More dreams?
No, I have had no more Twilight Zone dreams that John called me in the middle of the night. And no, not at all. That was just one time, and I think the seed was planted because my wife said, John's been gone for five months now. Yeah. And then I went to bed, and then I had the Twilight Zone dream of John calling me and telling me it was a big mistake. They bagged him, and he really wasn't dead. He just he crawled out of the refrigerator, and he says, "I don't know what happened, but I'm alive, Steve. We need to catch up." Yes, we do need to catch up. Wow. And Julie wants to talk to you, by the way, too. She has a lot of questions for you. But no, it was a weird dream. Let's get back to this Elon Musk. You're telling me in the break here, he's worth, what's the dollar amount this guy's worth now?
I read was $264.5 billion.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. 43 billion.
That kind of wealth.
Chump change.
That kind of wealth.
Yeah.
So throwing $43 billion at a company here trying to buy Twitter's is chump change, really. $43 billion offer. I'm not sure what he really stands for. I'm not really sure he's really the guy that's trying to bring back free speech. I really don't know. But and the reason I bring that up is because I understand that Elon Musk has a pretty good sized chunk of a contract with government contractors for all those thousands of Starlink surveillance satellites that are up in space now.
Right.
And I don't know if those are in communication working with 5G or not to track us. I do know it's about surveillance. A lot of this stuff is surveillance technology. So if somebody's telling me they care about my free speech, but then they're into satellites and surveillance of the people, well, that kind of negates the other part of free speech if I'm being spied upon. So I don't know. I don't know much about this guy.
Well, if he's for censorship, all he has to do is acquire Twitter and do nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So logically, what would be the advantage of him acquiring that other than changing the censorship aspect of it?
Well, that's what he talked about. He said in a democracy and truly, I mean, if a true democracy, which we don't really have a democracy, and I mean, some aspects we do have choices in a democracy, but we are a constitutional republic. But, you know, if this guy's got this kind of money to throw around, $43 billion, Ron, why not have the attitude of, I'll bury you guys and start my own platform?
You know, I thought about the same thing, but yeah. Why reinvent the wheel? That's probably how he's looking at it.
Well, if he brings back free speech on his own platform, I think a lot of people would leave the Twitter platform to say, you know what, I want to go and talk about what I want to talk about. And so the trolls all stay with Twitter, and the people who really care about free speech go to the new platform. So why not just build your own platform of free speech? Probably cost you a lot less than $43 billion.
It probably would, but getting it started with people wanting to be part of it, that would take some time. This way, he's already got an audience.
I see what you're saying. So, in other words, he'd have to grease some palms to get the thing going, right?
Right, right.
Got it. I understand that.
He's currently my hero, if he fulfills on what he's
if he pulls it off. I don't know. Yeah. Is he going to pull it off or not? I can't remember what plan B was to stop him from buying more shares. I don't know if they just wrote something new and they said, hey, well, here's a new rule for the company. We can't allow anybody to have more than this much percentage of shares. I don't know how they're going to do this, but
I think they're eliminating the stockholders from voting on whatever they're going to do.
Well, that's not, they can't do that.
Well, that's what I think they're attempting to do.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because no, as a shareholder, you have a right.
Absolutely.
To sell or whatever you want to do. And so if somebody's offering you more, you're cheating out the stockholder of making quite a bit of money and getting out.
And I'm wondering what the persuasion is of the stockholder. Is it liberal or is it conservative? Or my guess would be that it'd be more liberal in support of Twitter.
Maybe. I don't know. Something else interesting here. It's all over the place. Talking about Biden approval numbers. Have you been following this a little bit, Ron? Biden approval numbers?
Not since 40%.
Well, that's what's weird, really strange. He's 41%, and then he goes to 35%, then 33%, and then today I'm seeing CNN talking about low poll numbers for Joe Biden at 41%. So I don't know how he went back from 33 to 35 back up to 41. I don't know. Has he done something that I didn't know about, something good lately? These numbers that they pull out, I just don't buy them, and I don't know. We're back up to 41% again.
I don't buy that. I do not buy it. Not with gas prices and inflation and food shortages.
Speaking of that, let me give you a couple of prices. I went shopping at the zoo today at Walmart. I hate Walmart, Ron. But what do you think? What do you think 5 dozen eggs, a box of eggs, large eggs would cost, Ron? 5 dozen.
I would say about $12.
Pretty close. $11.74 today.
Okay.
I used to buy months ago. I would buy 5 dozen at a time. This box for $3.47 for 5 dozen.
Wow.
$11.74 today.
Yeah.
One cucumber. What do you think one cucumber would cost, Ron?
I wouldn't even want to guess.
74 cents.
Wow.
One cucumber. One corn on the cob, 50 cents.
Jeez.
One bell pepper, 84 cents for a bell pepper. One pepper.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to it.
No, there's not. And
mostly
I imagine
water.
Your prices are even higher out there, but that's Florida price today. Florida price today.
Well, I've gone on the carnivore diet. I know you're probably dead set against that, but my kidneys, which I was failing, are almost at normal right now.
Good. Very good. Very
good. So I'm not eating that bell pepper.
Well, actually, I'm starting my garden, so I mean, that's ridiculous. 84 cents for one bell pepper.
Yeah.
Lettuce. One little head of lettuce, $1.74 for iceberg.
Jeez.
Iceberg lettuce, $1.74.
And that there's no nutrition to iceberg.
There's no nutrition to iceberg. It's just there. It really
is.
I mean, you dice it up, you put it in your taco, it's just there as filler. There's really nothing nutritional about iceberg lettuce, as far as I know. There's nothing there.
Only if you cook it with bacon.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. But everything's going up. And so when I see his numbers going back up again, I'm thinking, why? Gas prices are still very high. I don't know what your gas is running. What's your gas running right now?
It's about 560 to 90 a gallon.
We are low now. We've come down out of the fours, $4 range. We are now right around 381 a gallon. 381 now. So still quite a bit higher than this time last year.
And, it's going to get worse because the railroads are not shipping the fertilizer to the farmers.
No. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up because the United States is the number one importer of fertilizer. And most of that fertilizer is coming from, actually, believe it or not, it's coming from Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get it. So I think you guys in your neck of the woods, agriculture, because the state of California, you guys grow everything.
Yeah.
You really grow everything there. And so with having a drought, and then, of course, that's always been a problem with California, but now you have a problem with getting enough fertilizer. I've come out with my little theories on things, but it appears to me they're removing a lot of protein out of our diets and telling me it's contaminated and E. coli and avian bird flu now, and they're just destroying our protein sources. And I think that's very purposeful. I'm quite certain that's purposeful.
Have you heard anything more on the avian bird flu?
Turkeys and chickens now. I don't know. They're just, for some reason, it seems to be spreading in the category of poultry now. But chickens and our turkeys now are being tainted with it. So they're slaughtering. They're getting rid of all these chickens and all these turkeys. So there's that protein source is disappearing here.
Well, it probably goes along with the COVID-19. It's completely wiped out the flu.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there was no flu this year. It took 2 years off in a row, back to back. Kind of amazing. Ron, what's on your mind? Anything else you want to talk about here? I'm just going to go down the list if you got something you want to bring up.
Nothing I can think of, but I am curious how many people normally died from the flu per year. If we were to take that number and subtract it to the, 6 million globally that have died from COVID?
Yeah.
What would we have?
Well, typically, there's two sets of numbers that I found from the CDC. They use two sets of numbers. One number they've pulled out many years in a row. It's funny. They continue to pull the same number out instead of giving you different numbers. Kind of like telling you how many illegals are in this country. 10 million illegals. They keep forgetting that you probably have to change the number once in a while to show some kind of credibility. But they've pulled a number out, right around 70, 75,000 people die a year from the seasonal flu. That's when they're getting ready to roll out their shots and reminding people, get your flu shot. It's 70 to 75,000 people died from the flu. Then in the off season, I've seen numbers as low as 35, 36,000 have died from the seasonal flu. So they ramp up the big number prior to rolling out. It's the season now. Make sure you get your flu shot. 75,000 died. Get your flu shot. They use two different numbers.
Wow.
As far as the COVID, VAERS, the CCP, has admitted that there was at least a minimum of 74,000 that were called COVID deaths where they were not COVID deaths. They were comorbidities or underlying health problems. So they overcounted those to throw those on the heap of the pile here in order to scare people, use the fear propaganda to coax people to get the shot. So they ramp the numbers up, add the flu numbers on top of that, and you have a surge now. You have rising numbers of cases. So you better get your shot.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I found today the New York Post had an article today that our expectations of the COVID shot, Ron, are too high. It's not going to prevent the variants. Now, I remember from day one, ready to roll it out, they said 94.5% effectiveness.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about that number anymore, 94.5% effectiveness. Now the New York Post is saying that we've raised the bar too high. We need to lower the bar. Our expectations are too high because the COVID shot is not going to protect you. It's not going to prevent you from getting it. But still continue on the pathway of get it because it'll minimize your symptoms.
Well, you know, when you think about it, when they came out with a vaccine for polio when I was a kid, I think it was the Salk vaccine.
Yeah, Salk vaccine, right.
Yeah, it wiped it out. It literally wiped it out. The vaccine for COVID doesn't affect it's non-effectual.
No, we're always seeing people left and right who are double vaxxed, triple vaxxed, and boosted, and they're getting COVID.
Yeah.
So and, shouldn't that nullify the whole premise they've been telling us that you need to get it because you'll be safe?
Well, logically, yeah. I mean, logically, you couldn't argue with that it's not working.
Right.
Illogically, it's working, but it's just not working great.
That's one way of saying it. Yeah, that glass is half full. The glass is either half full or half empty. But in this case, it's half empty and there's a booger floating in it. So that's what I would say. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Sherry in Kansas. Welcome, Sherry.
Hi, fellas. I remember hearing, and this was in 2020, someone was talking about they went back to get the statistics of how many deaths of all causes, the average for, you know, the previous few years. And the most recent statistics they had was, I believe, 2017, because 2018 wasn't in yet. But they said it averages to be just a little under 1% of the people in the United States die every year of all causes. And but when they start blaming COVID for everything like they were doing, because they started giving the hospitals incentives to do that, well, you know, their numbers are screwed. They're not, you can't trust them. And as far as the flu deaths, they mix flu and pneumonia on those statistics from the CDC. And they've been doing that for years. And I've heard Dr. Tenpenny say things about this. I heard Brian Artis the other day say stuff about that, because he's been watching. And he says, I tell you what, Steve, you need to listen to an interview that Brian Artis did with Robert Scott Bell and you go to, I think you can go to robertscottbell.com and find it, but it's like he's just had this interview since, you know, this stuff came out about the snake venom. And you will be surprised what he said, the papers he found about snake venom. Are you aware that they use snake venom in doing this genetic research?
No.
I saw that too, Sherry. I saw it. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. And
incredible.
And the things he said, they sell this stuff to researchers, or probably anybody wants to buy some. It's synthetic. You know, it's a synthetic form of, you know, what's in snake venom, but it kind of cuts the DNA so they can manipulate
it? Right, and hydrochloroquine actually is a, what would you say, a remedy.
Something that makes it not work.
Makes it not work, correct.
Yeah, nullify. And so yeah. is vitamin C, cysteine, as in N-acetylcysteine, and there was one other thing.
Ivermectin also they mentioned.
Really? Okay.
There was one other thing, and it was something that the FDA was trying to keep people from using. So you will really be amazed when you listen to what he had to say. So,
Mike,
for that,
check it out. I don't know much of him, but I kind of follow Malone. I, of course, follow Dr. Peter McCullough quite a bit. Tim Penny, Naomi Wolf, many others.
Brian Artis is a sharp dude. I've heard him several times. I'll check him out.
I don't know much about him, but I'll check him out, though.
He actually provides the evidence and support, and it's not
Joseph
a theory.
Ricola.
It's fact.
Joseph Ricola.
Okay, that's all I had. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Sherry, thanks again for the call. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Tom in Baltimore. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, Mr. Elkins. I tuned in late to your show today. It sounds like you have a guest, so good evening to both of you.
It's my guest every Monday, Ron McDonald.
How are you, Mr. McDonald?
I'm doing great, Tom. And yourself?
Not bad. I just wanted to comment. I tuned in late. Mr. Elkins, as is so often the case, you're right on the target with pointing out that there are some games being played with numbers that are coming out from government sources. Just to lend credence to what you're saying, in another example, I don't know how you feel about the quote-unquote so-called opioid crisis. As a retired narcotics cop, I don't buy it for one second. Now, the fentanyl may be a different story. That's something new. But I can tell you this. I studied the situation when it comes to the failed drug war and the numbers that come out from our government agencies really tell the story. And it's just a matter of folks taking the time and doing the due diligence to look at what the government tells you. They tell them themselves, actually. The Office of National Drug Control Policy, for example, they'll give you different numbers as far as what they call opioid deaths. The CDC, they'll give you another set of numbers.
Yep.
The DEA, which, by the way, is funded to the tune of over $30 billion per year,
yep,
they'll give you in their National Drug Threat Assessment, which they put out, it's a report they put out annually, they'll give you yet a third set of numbers. The government lies to you over and over and over again. And by the way, I'll leave you with this so other callers can get on. The reason we have a fentanyl problem is because you banned, speaking of you meaning the government, you banned the medications that there are legitimate pain patients who need it and need medication that they know exactly what they are getting. Just because some people abuse a medication does not mean you get to abuse other legitimate pain patients. And I'll leave you with that. Thank you for a great show as always.
Appreciate it. Hey, just a heads up here. I just got a notice that Chris Steiner is going to be hosting Judy Mikovits this Wednesday on the 20th with the National Intel Report. So you want to check out it. Chris Steiner and an interview with Judy Mikovits. That should be a good time here. I definitely may listen to that one and definitely call in with some questions. I'm sure I will. I always have questions. Ron McDonald,
yes.
Your comments?
On what specifically?
What he was just talking about, the numbers game. The numbers game, well, they play the numbers game on us all the time.
I don't know. You know, it's there's always a war on something. And you always, in my opinion, you always have to follow the money trail when there's a war on things, like a war on drugs. We found out that the CIA was the culprit in supplying the United States with drugs. Yeah. So what are you going to believe? I mean, we're fed a lot of facts, and the facts are usually unsupportable.
How many people actually probably know that? If you walked on the street and you said, "Do you know your CIA? It was in the drug business, and they're still in the drug business, and have soldiers, you have military soldiers, Marines out there in Afghanistan,
Steve, not my country,
fields.
Not
Do you
my
understand
country.
They're guarding poppy fields?
Yeah,
yeah, probably not. Be surprised." You know, that's always been the black money coming in. I've always felt that that money was always being – that illegal money, that drug money was always being used to fund special black ops, projects, agendas across the globe. You can't rightly go to the Congress and say, hey, by the way, we're going to topple this government, and we need some money. It's illegal to do that, so – any money that's used for these agendas here to overthrow a country and install a coup to overthrow the country has to come from some dark money somewhere. And the money in drugs is huge.
Well, you know,
I don't know what the billions or maybe close to $1 trillion a year. I don't know. It's a lot. And the government is getting their cut. And I'm sure that's where it goes. The DOD.
Right. Well, the CIA is taught to look at people as statistics and not as people.
Right.
So it's a chess move when they move against individuals.
Yeah.
So that's the same as the IRS. Did you, not to go off topic, but did you know the IRS, the agent gets a cutback from whatever he collects?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's an incentive. Definitely an incentive.
Yeah, did not know that. Getting a message here from Michael. Jeff Bennett is next, and he'll intro a special show tonight from his personal archives. And the person here is Ann Rand.
That's
an interesting way to spell Ann. A-Y-N?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So Jeff Bennett is following our show here tonight. That's it. Not much else to say. You know, music is coming. Okay. I got it. Got it here.
Yeah.
There's the music that completes our show this evening. Thank you, Ron McDonald, for being here. We'll see you again next Monday night, second hour. Back again for my show on Sunday. I get to be there next Sunday, Off the Beaten Path, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your calls today. Thank you for your input. We were conversing. I like it. Maybe more of it next time. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night.
Take America back. We must take America back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.